My text today will be taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 13. I'm speaking on the subject, a word to those who seek the Lord. A word to those who seek the Lord. Jeremiah wrote, quoting our God, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Now, men and women by nature do not seek God. If you look this world over, and I'm including the churches and the cathedrals and the tabernacles and religion of today, and out on the streets and in the offices and factories and stores, people do not seek the Lord. Romans chapter 3, verse 11 says, "There's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 21, watch how applicable this is to our day. Listen, "For all seek their own, and not the things of the Lord." All seek their own. Greed. Men are not seeking God, they're not seeking the things of God, they're not seeking the truth of God. They're seeking their own. And then in John chapter 5, verse 40, our Lord said, "You will not come to me that you might have life." Men will come to a church. They'll come to a program. They'll come to entertainment. They'll even come to a doctrine, but they won't come to a person, to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not seeking the Lord. And then in John chapter 3, verse 19, the scripture says, "This is condemnation." This is our condemnation. This is our judgment. That men love darkness. They love darkness and hate light, and they will not come to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. So men and women by nature do not seek God. They do not seek God. But there are many precious promises made in this book to those who will seek the Lord with all their heart. There are many precious promises held out to all who will seek the Lord. Listen to some of them. In the book of Psalms, chapter 22, verse 26, David said, "They shall praise the Lord that seek him." In Psalm 9, verse 10, he says, "O Lord, thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Thou wilt not forsake them that seek thee. Psalm 34:10, "They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." And then in Psalm 40, verse 16, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee." And then in Psalm 119, verse 2, listen, "Blessed are they that seek the Lord with the whole heart." And then our Lord said in Matthew 7, "Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Ask and you shall receive." In Matthew 5, verse 6, he said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled." My friends, when we find a sinner, when we find a man or a woman who manifests enough interest in his soul, people are interested in their bodies. If I were to conduct a healing service and had some kind of special gift or power or mind over matter to deceive people and trick people, I could get thousands of people out to hear me preach. But when you just stand and preach the gospel, men and women are interested in good music, but not much in good preaching. They're interested in their bodies, but not much interested in their souls. But when we find somebody who's interested in his soul, who's interested in the things of the Lord, who's interested enough to seek God with all his heart, something blessed, something precious is going to happen. Benefits and blessings of mercy are coming from God. Listen to Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. "If thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou shalt seek the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thou shalt find him." Oh, if somewhere we could find somebody who was interested in his soul, who was interested in having sin forgiven, who was interested in a living relationship with the living God, who was interested in knowing the Savior, who was interested in having a vital living union with Christ, a vine-branch relationship, a sheep-shepherd relationship, a head-body relationship, if we could find somebody who was interested in seeking the Lord, I tell you, something blessed would happen. For all of these promises are made to those who will seek the Lord. Now I'm going to give a word to those who seek the Lord in my message today. I speak not to those who are satisfied with formal religion. This is no heart for God at all. They're satisfied with a form of prayer. They're satisfied with a form of godliness. They're satisfied with a form of worship. Well, if you're satisfied with nothing but the form, denying the power thereof, I have nothing for you. And I speak not to those who are content to live two lives, one for God and one for themselves. That's a double heart. And the Bible says a double-minded man, the mind and heart's the same thing. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I speak not to those who are deceived and who deceive others. This is a false hope. They have no real interest in Christ and no real interest in his glory. They have a dishonest religion. They're going about to make a proselyte to their own religion, to their own way of thinking. And after they've made him, he's twofold more the child of hell than they are. I speak to those today who with sincerity and with all their hearts are seeking the Lord. Like David, my soul panteth after the living God. Oh, where shall I find the living God? Like the harlot who bathed his feet with tears and dried them with the hair of her head, seeking in repentance and weeping and mourning, seeking the Lord, seeking his presence. Like blind Bartimaeus, who cried out after the Lord, even though the people about him said, "Hold your peace, hold your peace." He cried out the more. He would not be denied. I must get to him. Like Jacob, who wrestled with the Lord, who said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Oh, if I could find somebody who wants the Lord that badly, who is seeking the Lord that sincerely, I've got a word for him. As the woman with the issue of blood who cried, "Oh, if I can only get to him. He's my only hope. He's my only hope." She had spent all that she had on many physicians and was no better, but only continually worse. And finally she came to the end of herself. She said, "If I can just get to him." Those who seek the Lord as the leper who ran and worshipped him and fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me whole." What's that great old Puritan who said, "Lord, lead me to seek thee, to seek thee"? Not to be satisfied with formal religion, not to be satisfied with two lives, not to be satisfied with being deceived. "Lead me to seek thee with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind, and seeking thee to find thee." And the promise is, if you'll seek me with all your heart, you'll find me, God said. And finding thee to love thee, and loving thee to serve thee. Three questions we're going to deal with today. The first question is this: why do men seek the Lord in this fashion? In this fashion. And secondly, whom do they seek? And then thirdly, how do they seek him? How do they seek him? Now the first question, why do men seek the Lord? You say, "Preacher, the Bible says that none that seeketh after God." And that's true. Men by nature do not seek God. Men by nature love evil. Men by nature love darkness. That's what Scripture says. And that's true. We know that from experience. Men by nature do not love God. The things of God to the natural man is foolishness, sheer nonsense. Well, why do some men seek the Lord? There are out there some people, men and women, young people, who are seeking the Lord with all your heart. Who made the difference? Why are you seeking God when your friends are not? Why are you seeking God when your husband's not or your wife is not? Why are you seeking God when your family's not seeking Him?
Why are you seeking God when the people you work with are all satisfied to have an empty-headed profession of faith? With no peace, no rest, no joy, no hope, no assurance. Just a mechanical religion. Why are you seeking God? And they're not interested. You know why? Because God hath awakened you. Let's give Him glory to whom it's due. Let's give Him glory to whom it's due. You know what Scripture says? We love Him because He first loved us. Christ said to His disciples, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you." We seek Him because He sought us. The lost sheep was not hunting the shepherd. The shepherd was hunting the sheep. Psalms 110 verse 3 says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." Ephesians 2 verse 4 talks about how we walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind, the pride of life. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were in this dead, lifeless condition, quickened us with Christ. Who did it? But God. But God. We were children of wrath, even as others, but God. We were children of wrath, even as others. It doesn't say, but I'm different, but I'm smarter, but I'm better, but God saw something in me He didn't see in them. No, sir. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead, hath quickened us together with Christ. Peter, Christ said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And he said, "Why, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God." Peter, who do those people out there say I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, some other. But Peter, you say I'm the Christ. That's right. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who maketh you to differ? Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I'm saying to you, my dear friend, left to yourself, you'd go the way of all flesh. Left to yourself, you'd never seek God. You'd seek self, personal gain, personal glory, self-righteousness. God made the difference. And that's why men seek the Lord, is because God seeks them first. That's why men love Christ. Christ loved them first. That's why men give their lives to Christ, because Christ gave His life first for them. Put the glory where it belongs. Put the crown on the head where it belongs. It doesn't belong on my head or yours. Who maketh thee to differ? What do you have that you didn't receive? Everything you've got, God gave you. Christ said to Pilate, Pilate said, "Why, I have the power to crucify you or let you go." He said, "You couldn't have any power over me at all except it were given you from above." God makes the difference. Why do men seek the Lord? Well, because the Lord awakened them. And secondly, they seek the Lord because they've been made to see their sins. Now, this is something the average person has never seen. His sins. He doesn't understand what sin is. He doesn't understand where the home of sin is, where the root of sin is. He doesn't understand it. Those who are seeking the Lord, though, they do. They've been made to see their sins, and the fact that their sins have separated them from their God, they've been made to see that. We're like sheep wandering from the fold. We're like prodigal sons who are living in the hog pen. We're like dead branches, fit for the burning, separated from the vine. We're like the leper who cast out of the camp, wandering about there alone, crying, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." God never clothes a man until He first strips him. God Almighty never raises a man until He slays him. God Almighty never saves a man until that man, first of all, becomes lost. Grace is for the guilty, and the guilty will seek grace. And people who seek the Lord are people who've been made to realize that they're great sinners. Not only in act, but in thought. Not only in deed, but in attitude. Not only in outward expression, but in inward imagination. They are sinners by nature and sinners by birth and sinners by practice and sinners by choice. They realize that even their righteousnesses are filthy rags in God's sight. That they never think a thought that is not tainted by sin. They never make a move that is not influenced in some way by selfishness. Oh, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And men who have seen that through the Bible have cried, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips." Men who've seen this throughout the Bible have been made to cry, "I hate myself. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin, this body of death? With my mind I serve the law of God, but I find another law in my members, warring against this law of the mind, warring against my righteous nature." It's a conflict between flesh and spirit in which there's no discharge until death shall part this righteous nature from this unholy nature. Why do men seek God? Well, the first reason is because he came by the power of his Spirit, awakened them from a dead condition and gave them life, a holy life that cries out for God. And because he came and convicted them of sin and showed them their nakedness, showed them their wretchedness, so showed them their loneliness and inability. And then I'll tell you another reason why men seek the Lord, why men genuinely seek the Lord, why they genuinely cry out for a living relationship with a living God. You know why? Because they're fed up, totally tired, completely weary of the phony religion of this 20th century. I tell you, my friend, the woman with the issue of blood had tried many physicians. She'd spent everything she had, and she wasn't any better. And then she sought the Lord, and she sought him with all her heart. And I'll tell you, nowadays, people are trying to find salvation in the law, and the only thing you can find there is condemnation. People are trying to find salvation in decisionism, and the only thing you can find there is emptiness. People are trying to find salvation down at the front of the church, in preachers' hands and altars and all these other things. And all you find there is just a little encouragement to live a little better. Men try to find it in tradition. If I try to find it in creed, if I try to find it in doctrine. But none of these things can speak peace. One old man wrote years ago, "Lord, deny me what you will. Only God ease me of my guilt. Broken at thy feet I lie. Give me Christ, or else I die." I'll be glad when more people become weary of all the commercialism that's in religion today and all of the entertainment that's going under the name of God and all of the Hollywood-style promotion that is going under the name of God and all of the shysters and crooks that are taken from poor people and folks on Social Security and sick people, offerings to promote their own kingdoms and their own cause and their own glory. It's evil, it's wicked. And it's being carried on in the name of God. And rich preachers dressed in rich clothes, driving rich automobiles and living in palaces are preying on the poor and doing it in the name of God Almighty. And hell's not hot enough for them. And someday somebody's going to get tired of all this. All of this phony religion that's going under the name and the banner of Jesus Christ. And it's another Jesus. And they're going to cry out, "Somebody come and preach the gospel to us. We don't want our ears tickled. We don't want our toes tingling, dancing with music. We want to hear about Christ. We want to hear about God. We don't want you laying your hands on our bodies and trying to heal us. We're going to die anyway. But we don't want to die and go to hell. Tell us about the Lord. Tell us how we can come to a saving knowledge of Christ, a saving relationship with Christ." Men seek the Lord, first because God awakens them, and secondly because they know they're sinners. And salvation is not something they do for God. It's something God does for them. And God knows we need something done for us. We need a new heart. And the preacher can't give you that. and we need a new nature, and the preacher can't give you that. And we need a new spirit, and the church can't give you that. And we need a new birth, and down at the front of the altar, they can't give you that. Only God can give you that. And someday, somewhere, we're going to find somebody that's fed up with all this stuff that's going under the name of religion and God. God's not a beggar. We don't beg for money on this program because it's an abomination to God. God pays his bills. He supplies the need if he's in something. And people are going to get tired of all this someday, and somebody's going to start seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord. All right, whom do they seek? Now listen to this. He said, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Brethren, the object of an awakened heart is to know Christ. Not to know a doctrine. Not to know where Cain got his wife. Not to know how long the ark was and how wide it was and how deep the water was. It's to know Christ. Listen to Paul. I count all things but loss for the knowledge of Christ, that I may win Christ and be found in him. I want to know him. Preacher, I don't want to know how many of you had in Sunday school Sunday. I want to know the Lord. I don't want to know how many you're shooting for next Sunday. I want to know Christ. The awakened heart that's seeking the Lord, the object of his search is to know a person. The object of the genuine heart is Christ. Listen to Paul. Oh, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. The object of genuine faith is Christ. I know whom I have believed. Paul didn't say, I know in whom I have believed. He said, I know whom. And one dear old saint said, don't even let a preposition come between you and the Lord. I know whom I have believed. This is where the religious world is missing the gospel. Men are seeking an experience, a religious experience, when they ought to be seeking a person. You can get an experience anywhere. You can inherit $1,000 and it'll give you an experience. You can have a toe ache and it get well and you'll have an experience. It's not hard to find an experience. We want a person. Salvation's a person. And when you have him, you have everything. Men today are seeking a feeling rather than a person. If they could just get a feeling, if they could feel good or feel holy or feel righteous. Brethren, to feel saved and to be saved could be two different things. Salvation's a person. Christ died for our sins. Christ is ascended into glory. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We're chosen in him. We are redeemed in him. We're called in him. We're accepted in him. We're exceeded in him. And someday, by God's power, we're going to be conformed to his image. Men today are seeking heaven rather than seeking Christ, who is heaven. The Word of God says you're complete in him. For he of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Whom do they seek? They seek a person. Not an experience. Not a feeling. Not even heaven. They're seeking Christ. Paul said, my little children, I travail till Christ be formed in you. I can sit down and teach you Baptist doctrine. It won't help you. I can sit down and teach you about the creation and about prophecy and all these other things. I don't know a great deal about prophecy, but I can show you what I do know, and it wouldn't help you in it. Till Christ be formed in your heart. When you have him, you have the humility of Christ. When you have him, you have the love of Christ. When you have him, you have the grace of Christ. When you have him, you have the spirit of Christ. When you have him, you have the prayer of Christ. When you have him, you have all the benefits of Christ. Listen, A.B. Simpson put it this way. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gifts I wanted, now the giver owned. Once I sought for healing, and now for Christ alone. I wish I could make that clear to you. We're seeking things. We're seeking experiences. We're seeking wonders. We're seeking signs. We're seeking confirmations. We're seeking arguments. We're seeking doctrines. We're seeking reformation. We're seeking entertainment. We're seeking everything but the Lord. And he said, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. He's the object. How do they seek him? Now listen carefully while I close. You'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, when the Lord talks about our seeking him with all our heart, he's not talking about our emotions. Salvation is more than an emotional experience. It is to seek the Lord with your understanding. When Philip came alongside that chariot where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah 53, Philip looked up at him and said, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you read? A committal to Christ that saves is a committal involving the understanding of sin and its consequences, understanding of God's righteousness and God's justice and God's gospel, who Christ is, what he did and why he did it. Understand it. Do you understand the gospel? At least in your head. And then secondly, it is to seek him with your will. Christ said, if a man sits down and figures out whether or not he has enough to finish a building before he ever starts it. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to sit down and consider this commitment. Consider this decision. Are you willing to make a total commitment to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to totally surrender to him? This seeking him with all your heart involves your understanding, your will, and your wholehearted energy. Give me Christ, or else I die. Join us next Lord's Day for the broadcast. Until then, Henry Mahan bidding you a very pleasant good morning.